I thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of God has been reestablished over all of us in this service, and the will of our Heavenly Father will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the angels of God encamp themselves round about us and minister on our behalf. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We praise you and worship you. Let's just raise our hands and worship the Lord. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt thee. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. Oh Lord, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, oh Lord. Amen. So today we are going to be teaching about a very important topic today. Don't be anxious nor worried. And I know a lot of people are standing in faith, but when you hear the news of what's going on in our world of the pandemic, all the people that have gotten infected, all the people that have died, and there's a lot of people who have lost loved ones, and their heart is grieving. It's a sad time. It's a challenging time. It's not easy. And if you have not been affected, you may know someone who has, or at least see it on the news. And our heart goes out to each and every one. And the people who've lost their jobs, or gotten their hours cut back, or someone in our family just said that their job will be sunsetting. They don't know what that means for their entire department. They're laying off tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. People have applied for EDD since last March. Many of them have not seen a dime of it. I prayed with one ABCer about a month and a half ago who had not received any money and was laid off. And praise God! She got her money like a few weeks afterwards. Thank you, Jesus. And so prayer does work. However, what about the people who don't know how to pray effectively? What about those that are still hurting? I know someone else who has applied for EDD, and they said that people who have their own business that are 1099ers or subcontractors can apply. And they have a severe 40 to 60% decrease in their income in their business. They said, go ahead and apply. But when they applied, they said they were ineligible to receive the unemployment insurance benefits that are in their account. They cannot withdraw it. And they're not going to be able to get that from that source, except for God. But God. But God can change things around. So if people are worried, if people are anxious, that can stop or roadblock them from receiving their blessings. And so fear comes in and becomes bigger than their faith. And then it's time to have our faith get bigger than fear and put that fear back under our feet where it belongs. Amen? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of, you know, like if we're looking at the Amplified version, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a calm, well-disciplined, self-controlled, sound mind. And so when we're self-controlled, we can then not have that anxiety and get all worked up and fearful and worried and concerned, because God is our provider, not the government. God is our Jehovah Jireh, and He's the one that gives us everything that we need. Amen? And let's go to the theme. It says, we should go to the Lord in prayer instead of being anxious or worried. Remind yourself to be thankful for what God has already done for you in the past. Be reassured that God will help you again, even in this pandemic. And so it doesn't matter if there are some people that have been in lockdown and they live alone and they feel lonely, because Jesus is with you. It doesn't matter if you think that you should be working in a job someplace and don't know where your funds are coming from. Jesus is with you. It doesn't matter if you're having challenges in your family, or there are so many things going on that you do not know how to cope with them, or feeling overwhelmed or stressed or anxious. Jesus is with you, and He'll help us go through all of it. Let's remember all the things that God has already done for us in the past. Hasn't He gotten you through every single one of those challenges before? And there might be some pending that you're still praying for, but I bet you the majority of us could say, God has helped me, right? This is another opportunity to see Him help us again. That's why we can rejoice in this trial. You know, rejoicing is a choice. It doesn't mean that I might be happy. It means that I'm going to remember who my God is. I'm going to realize and know that His promises are true, and that He will come through for me again and again, even in a pandemic. Can you agree with that? And those that agree say, amen. Hallelujah. And so what does God's word say about being anxious or worried? Well, let's go to Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now we're going to read the Amplified Classic Version. Do not fret. Whenever I see someone that's fretting, they're like wound up, you know, so tight like a top, you know, they're all like that kind of a attitude. They're just so agitated that they can't think right. They can't do anything right. That there's a challenge of depression. There's a challenge of hopelessness, of discouragement. So God says, don't do that. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, which are definite specific requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. I impart God's peace to you right now to be yours. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may the peace of God that passes all understanding flow right now to each and every person that is watching this teaching right now, flooding them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, alleviating all anxiety, alleviating all worry in Jesus' name. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ Jesus. Not just salvation from eternal damnation unto eternal life, but salvation from a pandemic, from COVID-19, from anything contagious. Salvation from financial challenges. Salvation from relationship challenges. Salvation from career changes that are seem challenging. Salvation from anxiety. Salvation from worry. Salvation from lack or want. Because the shalom, the covenant of shalom promised to us, is that you have nothing lacking and nothing missing. And let's ponder on that truth. So regardless what the devil is trying to put in front of you, it's an illusion, it's temporary, and by our faith and the word of God, confirming the word of God, we will change our circumstances if we don't fear and stand in faith, and if we are not anxious. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, B, what does it mean to be anxious or worried? Let's go to Merriam-Webster's definition of anxious, characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or brooding fear about some contingency or worried. Or number two, B2, Merriam-Webster's definition of worried, it's an adjective. Mentally troubled or concerned, feeling or showing concern or anxiety about what is happening or might happen. Some people have bills that have piled up. Some people may be facing eviction. Some people's banks might be knocking on their door for the mortgage. I know I've heard of people that have already been evicted and living in their car. There are hundreds of people in food lines, and it might be disconcerting. However, don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be anxious, because God is with you. Learn to be in God's peace so you will not be anxious or worried. That's letter C. Okay, how do we do that? Well, the scriptures tell us in Psalm 94:19. In number one, it says, in the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts cheer and delight my soul. God comforts us in time of turmoil and need. So allow that peace of God to come in and comfort you. When you feel all like a nervousness and butterflies in your stomach and your heart's pounding fast, and at nighttime when you're trying to go to sleep, but all these thoughts are coming into your mind over and over and over of every bill that's unpaid or every challenge that's attacking you, and it's regurgitating in your mind. That's meditating on the negative, and we have to stop that. Just like when you watch TV and some gross commercial comes on, you could stop it, change a channel, or bypass it by fast-forwarding if you have that capability on your television. So we have to do that with our mind. So in the name of Jesus, we're going to see that when you have those mulling thoughts of negativity coming to your thoughts over and over and over, and that's going to make you focus and dwell on what the devil is trying to do. We have to focus on what God has done for us and what Jesus paid for at the cross. He said, it's finished. It's finished. You have victory. You have to declare it before you see it. You have to walk in faith. It is yours. You are victorious. You are an overcomer. You are not a worrisome person. You are not worried. You are not an anxious person. That is just a symptom of the lie of the devil. The truth is that you are a peaceful person who walks in faith. You are an overcomer more than a conqueror. That you are seated with God in heavenly places far, far, far above all of the challenges that might face you. I love when Pastor Matthew taught that. I really got a hold of that. And I saw in a vision that I was up in the sky above the clouds. And I kept going higher and higher. And my problems kept getting lower and lower and lower, where they disappeared. I want you to take a minute and visualize that. Close your eyes for a minute. And let's visualize that. You are far, far, far above all the challenges because you are seated with Jesus in heavenly places where there is no anxiety in heaven. There is no worry in heaven. There are no tears. There is no pain. There is no lack. Only peace, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and the self-control that we need to stop ourselves from being anxious or worried. Now let's go to number 2, C2, Matthew 6:25, and the Amplified Classic says, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, or worried. So I just showed you how to stop it. Okay? So we're doing what the word says. When your mind is mulling over these negative thoughts, or you hear yourself say something like, oh, that person might say, they can't afford that. They should stop themselves, zip the lip, and say, no, I'm going to cancel, make null, and void those words in the name of Jesus and wash them away with the blood of Jesus. And I say that my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So that's how we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, okay? So it continues in verse 25 to say, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried what you shall eat or what you shall drink, and about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Let's keep going to verses 26 through 34. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. So he will keep feeding us. Are you not worth much more than they? Of course you are, because you are a child of God. Verse 27, and who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure, a cubit, to his stature? Can you add one more inch to how tall you are? No. Or to the span of your life? Well, you can if you learn to live and not die. Okay? But why worry about that kind of stuff? All you have to do is follow the word of God and believe in his promises. Verse 28, and why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. So if God takes care of them, they keep growing every year, then God will keep taking care of us. Let's remember how when the Hebrews left Egypt and Moses led them out, for 40 years, their sandals did not wear out. Now, you've got a favorite pair of shoes, right? Wouldn't it be great if that never wore out ever? Because now we have the Spirit of God, and now we call those things that are not as though they were. We understand that part. And so, yeah, I'm going to apply that to my shoes. I'm going to apply that to my clothing. I'm going to apply that to my car and my car parts. I'm going to speak over my food pantry. I'm going to pray over my account, my banking account. And I say in the name of Jesus, you will never have lack of want or want of any good thing. In the name of Jesus, you will never run out. In the name of Jesus, you will never have to be replaced until I want you to be replaced for my vehicle or for my shoes or clothes or anything I own in my home. Amen? Okay? And 29, verse 29. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace. It's like, you know, that is not as significant as you being a child of God. Will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Make that into a bigger faith. Now you're hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. 31, therefore do not worry. He says it again. Every time God says something, he wants us to take note that it's important. He's telling us that it can be done, okay? So therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? Verse 32, for the Gentiles, the heathen wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all, doesn't he? He absolutely knows you need everything. Before you ask, he knows it. Verse 33, but seek, aim at, and strive after first of all, what? His kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides that. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Now let's go to number 3. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Now that's Proverbs 4:23. And we're going to read the Amplified Classic Version. Is put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far away from you. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straightforward. You know what that means? Stop looking at the lack in your checkbook. Don't look at too much news. Don't focus on that negativity. Stop looking at the long bread lines. Look at the word of God, and that's what you will obtain. Consider well the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand nor the left, and remove your foot from evil. Now let's look at number 4. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. That's the Isaiah 26, verse 3, Amplified Classic Version. So instead of being anxious and being worried, we have to commit ourselves fully to God and to his word and his way, and doing it the way he tells us to. And when we lean on him, it means that we're not relying on anyone else to supply our needs, and that we hope confidently in God, that regardless how long something may take to get to you, that we know that it is on the way, because when you prayed and you made a request, your order was put into the storeroom of God, and your shipment from the angels of God are on the way. Amen? Okay, let's go to number 5. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we don't want to be carnally minded. That is being anxious or being worried. That is not focusing on God and his promises. which brings us peace. So if we're looking at our thermostat of the, you know, are we in the kingdom of God and in our protective bubble? And are we having love, joy, peace, and patience as, you know, our thermostat controls? Usually it's joy, peace, patience is the first thing that you're going to look at. But we kick love in there as well to make sure that if we're getting upset at someone, not being loving, it's pulling us out of the kingdom of God. If we're upset at watching the news and we're upset at some candidate or something that somebody did in government, you know what? We need to chill and just say, we're not going to allow that to affect me because it could block our prayers. What are we supposed to do? We're going to CRB, confess our sin, repent, renounce, and break. We're going to forgive that person of their sin. We're going to bless them, send laborers of God into the field to minister to them and give them godly wisdom so that we and our family may live a quiet and peaceable life. And we are going to continue interceding for this nation. I really, really think that we need to intercede more for our nation, don't you? And so I want you to think about increasing praying in tongues for our nation. Let the Holy Spirit use our divine prayer language to pray out the perfect prayer. You can also use the scriptures that talk about praying for our leaders, and that's important. And so I think it's important to stay as a citizen of the kingdom of God and as intercessors and let the Holy Spirit do his work through us. Can we do that? Okay. Because I don't want anybody to be roadblocked in receiving your blessings because of the strife and the debates and the this and the that. You know what? Let's rise far, far, far above that, remembering that we're ambassadors of Christ Jesus of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And let's be part of the solution through praying in tongues, okay? And let's go to number 6, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so if there's any confusion in your life, then you need to go back into peace. So that means you need to get some more prayer time with God. It might mean that you need to have some more alone time with him so that you could be worshiping. Because when you worship to godly music, the anointing comes. And then he, when we praise him, God inhabits the praises of his people. So I want God to come and be with me with his presence and that anointing breaking every yoke of bondage in my life of any challenges. And I want God to speak to me and guide me and direct me in the Holy Spirit to show me those great and mighty things that I know not. But we have to seek him. We have to be with him. And I would say let's decrease the things of the earth and increase the things of the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11, we all know these scriptures, but it's a good reminder in these times. Number 7, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so the Good News translation says, I, God alone, know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing each and every one of us, ABCers and ABC families, prosperity and not disaster. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing about a future that we hope for. Thank you, Lord God, that you're working it out on every one of our behalf right now, today, in Jesus' name. Now, Isaiah 32:17, number 8. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Number 9, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:7. Now, we know that in our minds, but are you walking that out? Are you living that on a daily basis? Because if anyone is anxious or worried, then peace cannot be there. It's one or the other. If someone's in fear or afraid, it has booted out the faith. If someone's in faith, fear cannot be there. if someone is anxious or worried, then God's peace cannot be there. So we need to come back into the kingdom of God by repenting of those sins and then reestablishing the kingdom of God in our lives and walking in that peace, and let it guard my mind to not be distracted by the things I'm hearing on the news or things I'm seeing. Or I know that somebody that called and said they needed immediate prayer when there was the riots just started in Minneapolis. And that person said the riots are close to our place and we see them burning all these buildings. Please pray for us, pray for us. And so this person prayed and asked us to pray for their friend. So they couldn't escape and get out of the city because they could have been attacked. They had to sit tight. It was God that protected their building and everything else around them burnt up. Isn't that awful that it burnt up? But isn't it great to know that they released the stress and brought the peace of God so they could pray and rely on the promise of God that He was their protector, not the police, not anybody else, not whoever, that God is there for each of us. Amen? Now, I want you to do a prayer with me if you can, okay? If you want to repeat this prayer so we can implement not worrying, implement not being anxious, and getting to be in that place of more assured peace. And every time it tries to come and grab us, any anxiety or worry, that we're going to remember to stop it, stop our minds and our thoughts from thinking those negative things, and we're going to get back into the Word of God after we confess, repent, renounce, and break, and reestablish the kingdom of God. Then we're back in that peace of God and worship, and as you praise God, His presence will come and inhabit where you are, and the presence of God, the anointing of God will fall on you and will break that yoke of anxiousness, break the yoke of worry, and bring His peace that passes all understanding. So, you want to pray with me? Okay, repeat with me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's word teaches and corrects me.
God's word teaches and corrects me.
As well as renews my mind.
As well as renews my mind.
So I can be all that He wants me to be.
So I can be all that He wants me to be.
I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
There is nothing too big for God to fix.
There is nothing too big for God to fix.
Nothing is impossible with God.
Nothing is impossible with God.
I believe that what the devil meant for bad,
right now,
God is turning around for good.
God is turning around for good.
For me. And my family.
And my family.
I choose not to be anxious or worried.
About anything.
But in everything. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. I will always.
Let my requests.
Be made known unto you.
My God.
And the peace of God. Which passes all understanding.
Guards my heart.
And my mind.
Through Christ Jesus.
I ask you, Holy Spirit,
to help me to guard my heart.
With all vigilance.
For out of it flow.
The springs of life.
Thank you, Lord. That if ever
I have a multitude
of anxious thoughts within me,
Your comfort. Will cheer and delight my soul.
I choose
not to be perpetually worried.
Uneasy.
Nor anxious. About what provisions
my family and I
have need of.
Because you, God,
are our Jehovah Jireh.
Are our Jehovah Jehovah Jireh.
Our divine provider.
Our divine provider.
Who brings everything we need.
Brings everything we need.
So bring it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
And Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit.
Please keep me in perfect.
Please keep me in perfect.
And constant peace.
And constant peace.
And my mind. Stayed and focused on you.
Stayed and focused on you.
Because I commit myself to you.
Because I commit myself to you.
I lean on you.
I lean on you.
I rely on you.
I rely on you.
And hope confidently.
And hope confidently.
In you.
In you.
I ask you to also help me.
I ask you to also help me.
Not be carnally minded.
Not be carnally minded.
With anxiety nor worry.
With anxiety nor worry.
Instead, help me, Holy Spirit.
Instead, help me, Holy Spirit.
To be spiritually minded.
Be spiritually minded.
Which is life.
Life.
And peace to me.
And peace to me.
For you, Lord.
For you, Lord.
Are not the author of confusion.
Are not the author of confusion.
Therefore, I resist confusion.
Therefore, I resist confusion.
And I receive your peace.
Receive your peace.
Into my mind and heart. For God. You know the thoughts and plans that you have for me and my family. Plans of peace and not of evil. Plans of prosperity and not disaster. Because you want to give me and my family a good future
that was hoped for.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That the work of righteousness,
in my life,
will be peace. And the effect
of righteousness
will be quietness and assurance forever.
Blessed assurance.
I establish the kingdom of God.
I establish the kingdom of God.
To operate in my life.
Operate in my life.
Every day.
Every day.
With righteousness.
Peace
and joy
in the Holy Spirit.
For no weapons formed against me
shall prosper or succeed.
And when challenges come,
they will not prevail.
Not even pandemics,
including
contagious diseases
like COVID-19.
Other illnesses,
financial challenges,
and any other challenges.
My God
always causes me to triumph.
My God
will never let me fail.
For what He promises,
He will do.
He'll do it again and again and again.
Lord,
help me to be strong and courageous.
Help me not to be afraid.
Not be anxious.
And not be worried.
You, Lord,
my God,
are with me
and my family.
You will not fail me,
nor forsake me,
and you will help me
until it is finished.
So I believe
that God has already given me
the victory
in every area of my life.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
As you can see, this morning things are different. Perhaps you might expect every morning, every service morning to be different. The world has changed. People have been talking about a new normal. But I'm not sure it has really sunk into them as to what the word new normal means. We are in a new normal, and we are looking forward to what God has in store and for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not looking back to the pleasures and the times of the past. We refuse to look back to Egypt. We're going ahead to see what God has for us. And what He has for us, as we know, is a river crossing symbolically the river of death, to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, and to be caught up with Him. And evermore shall we be with the Lord. Caught up with Him. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Caught up with Him and changed and given a glorified body, just the same as the glorified body that Jesus was given after He went to heaven and poured out His blood upon the mercy seat. The blood on the mercy seat, covering all sins, covering all the effects of sins, washing away the sins as if never existed. Remember, Jesus took all our sins. He died in sin. And God raised Him from the dead. And His blood just washed away all sins. So you and I are under grace. We have no sins. But when we do what would be sins, if we're not under grace, God does not impute it as sin to you. He doesn't see you as sinning. Ah, but it opens the door for the evil one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy to attack you. So we don't want to sin. We don't want to sin because we love the Lord, and we don't want to sin because we don't like being attacked by the evil one. So I'm going to take a very short time this morning before we get into the full praise and worship for a couple of points that are very important. We spoke on COVID-19, the future, on Friday. And if you have not yet seen that, I strongly recommend that you do. I think it's very important. Now, some things that have happened since then that are I find interesting, a quick update on Friday. So on Saturday news, the new cases are up 69%. I had listed it as 60% on Friday, but that didn't account for Friday, which was a really bad day. So we're running over 60,000 per day in the United States, which is double what it was 5 weeks ago. And we now have 8.1 million infected. The experts say that the country, United States, is in the midst of the dreaded fall surge. They have been dreading it all year, and it's coming up on us. They say we're in the midst, which implies in the middle. I disagree with that. We're just starting the fall surge. We will see. Remember in October 1918, with the so-called Spanish flu, that flu pandemic in the United States in the month of October 1918 killed 195,000. 195,000 in 1 month. Here in the U.S. today, in 2020, only Missouri and Vermont, only Missouri and Vermont are currently showing a reduced count, about 10% reduction in daily cases, about a 10% reduction. 27 states are showing increases of 10 to 50%. 27 states increasing 10 to 50. Two more, Connecticut and Florida, are increasing over 50%. Connecticut and Florida are increasing over 50%. The other states are static, about the same. 10 of the 27 states have achieved their highest one-day count ever. Highest one-day count. As you might expect, hospitalizations are up, and there's at least one place where the hospital ICU is full. Now, I closed on Friday. In fact, I came back after Pastor Sarah had done her closing to do an addendum because I thought it was so important. In a nutshell, what I said was this. I really only have one responsibility, which is keeping ABCers alive between now and when Jesus returns. And to do that, my job is to get you through the pandemic. So in the pandemic, my focus is on keeping ABCers alive. Now, I pray for the country, I pray for the economy, I pray for all our leaders. But my focus is not the economy of the country. My focus is keeping ABCers alive. I don't have the difficult job that the governor of this state and all states have, or of the president, which is also focusing on the economy. They have to juggle the economy and the mortality. There's a trade-off. It's like a seesaw. One goes up, the other one goes down. Like this. So I close with that trade-off saying, they have to make a choice. Are they going to focus on the economy, knowing that more people are going to die? Or are they going to try to keep as many people alive as possible and let the economy not do as well? Maybe even do very poorly. That's the choice they have to make. They may not verbalize it that way, but I wanted you to understand that's the choice they're making. No. I want to show you an example of two countries who made that choice from the very beginning. The two countries are Sweden and Denmark. Sweden and Denmark. Sweden made the choice of going without mask, no pandemic requirements. Was life as usual. Denmark went in early lockdown and tracing. What would happen? Here's what we'd expect. Here's what you should expect. Have been under these teachings now for 8 months. You'd expect the mortality rate in Sweden to go up and the economy to be doing fairly well, but the mortality rate in Denmark to be very low and the economy to be challenged. You should have just naturally known that based on what we've been saying. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Now, why am I bringing it up? For a couple of reasons. One is Sweden has been acclaiming to everybody who listens to them that they have a success story. And yes, if you're focusing on the economy, they have a success story. There are a lot of Danes who are telling people, yeah, Sweden did it the right way because we're out of jobs, we've lost our job, business is low, money's down. Does that sound kind of familiar? So, let's look at what the numbers are, okay? I'm going to give you three numbers and then finally finish with repeating one set because that's the most important set. The three numbers are the number of deaths per 100,000. The mortality of how many people die for every 100,000. So that takes away the difference in sizes of the country. So number of deaths per 100,000. We're going to look at USA, Sweden, and Denmark. In the early pandemic, the early days of the pandemic, the number of deaths per 100,000 in the U.S. was 60. 60. For Sweden, it was 58. And for Denmark, it was 10. Right in Sweden and Denmark, you see the difference. Sweden has the economy going as usual, 58 death per 100,000. Denmark shut everything down, did contact tracing, 10 dead. Now, since May 10th, okay, the date on May 10th, so from May 10th to the next 30 days, starting with May 10th, approximately 30 days. The USA was 36, had it down to 36 in 100,000. Big drop from 60 to 100,000 to 36. Remember, we kind of got it in control for a while, and then we had some holidays. Sweden brought it from 58 down to 24. So they cut it to below 50%. Denmark went from 10 to 2. They cut it by a factor of 5. 10 down to 2. 2 in 100,000. Now, since June 7th, because that one went up to June 7th. Now, June 7th, since June 7th to when this was published, well, this was published October 14th, but I don't know exactly when the study was done. It was before that. The USA went from 60 to 36, and since June 7th, it was at 27. So in that period from May to June, since June 7th, they went down from 36 to 27. Sweden went down from 24 to 10. Big drop in Sweden, 24 to 10. Denmark went from 2 down to 0.8. Okay? That's factor 3 here. Okay? 0.8 times 3 is 2.4. So, where were they when the study ended? Where they were when the study ended was USA 27, Sweden 10, Denmark 0.8. Not 1, 0.8. Now, Sweden and the USA are based on quoting the Journal of American Medical Association, the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's a quotation from them. They were involved in the study. I'll read it. They say that the USA and Sweden are in a category of two. They're in a category, and there are only two countries in the category, the USA and Sweden. Only two countries with high overall mortality rates. Only two countries with high overall mortality rates that have failed to rapidly reduce those numbers as the pandemic has progressed. Only two countries with high mortality rates have failed to rapidly reduce those numbers as the pandemic has progressed. Now you think, how can they say that? Both numbers went, USA went from 60 down to 27, Sweden went from 58 to 10. That's pretty big drops. But Denmark is 0.8, and of the major countries, the description is the largest wealthy countries. There are three categories for this thing here. The high numbers, medium, and the low. The U.S. is in the high numbers. Sweden is in the medium. Okay? Sweden, Denmark, and the low. I'm sorry, in the medium. In the categories where they're in, Sweden has 10, but the next lowest after 10 is they have 2 in 5. Yeah, that's it. The UK is at 5 and Canada is at 4. So in the categories of wealthy large countries, USA is 27, Sweden is 10. The next highest one is the UK, which, as you know, is highly challenged. They're at 5. So the UK is Sweden is twice as big as the UK, 10 to 5. And Canada is at 4. It's a factor of 6 from the US. All the rest in the category are below 4. That's why they said they haven't lured it, because everybody is basically four or less, much less, except for the UK. So, the stock numbers I want you to see are Sweden and Denmark started with 58 and 10. Currently, at the end of the study, they're 10 and 0.8. Now, remember, as we go into the fall surges, which, as you know, is impacting Europe a lot, the fall surge is going to definitely affect Sweden tremendously because they have no lockdown or anything. Denmark won't affect it much because they've got everything pretty much under control. Why is this very important? It's very important because I wanted to show you graphically the trade-off between economy and deaths. Economy and deaths. Sweden has 10 per 100,000 dying. Denmark has less than one. No, you say 10 in 100,000, that's not a big deal. Nope, not necessarily you or your family. Now, here's why it's relevant. We've all heard our president say he's never again going to lock down the country. Frankly, this country has never been locked down. But I understand what he's saying. A lot of places were locked down. Now, according to Time magazine, at the very highest levels of the White House, they are seriously planning on copying the Swedish approach because they think that it's a success. And yes, if you look at the economy, it's a success. So I want you to be aware of some of the factors that go into these decisions. If you want the economy to be a success, Sweden's way is good. If you're concerned about how many people are dying, Denmark's way is good. Thank God I don't have to make the choice. This overall article came from Time magazine. The title is Swedish COVID-19 Response is a Disaster. They went into a lot of depth, which I'm not doing. But the title, if you want to see it, was October 14th, and it says Swedish COVID-19 Response is a Disaster. Now, all this is not exactly edifying. It doesn't build you up and you're not excited. But it shouldn't be depressing. Because everybody at ABC know what our focus is. We are called to be focused on God, to serve God, and to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. That's our goal. That should really be our only goal. Now, somebody said to me recently, it says, well, if all that is true, we're just going to be locked down, hunkered down someplace. What kind of a life is that? And I said, no, we're not hunkering and locking down. Look what we've done over the last course of the pandemic. I said, we stopped Hurricane Dorian from going across Florida. And last Sunday, we prayed about Armenia and the war between Armenian and Azerbaijan. Pardon me. The war between Armenian and Azerbaijan. And the prayer was very, very powerful and effective. I've spent much of the time, many times over the last 7 days, 8 days, looking for evidence of conflicts. A lot of pictures, a lot of conflict before we prayed. After that, went days without seeing anything at all. What I saw on Tuesday was that Russia has volunteered to be the peacemaker. On Wednesday, Russia was talking to Turkey about peace, because Turkey is backing Azerbaijan, if you had not heard last Sunday's lesson. The only violence I found through Thursday was in Moscow. The Armenians were fighting the Azerbaijans in Moscow. There's a lot of insults going back and forth and a lot of blame and name calling, but nothing until Friday, I read one where they were arming the volunteers in Nagoma. Let me check my notes in Nagoma. Nagoma Karabakh. Nagoma. Don't try this at home, okay? Nagorno Karabakh. No, that's an area, a city area, which is basically claimed by both sides. It's a big place for Armenians, but there are also Turks there. So probably the combined name is because two cities merged together. I'm guessing, I don't know. But there were arming volunteers there. Friday or Saturday, apparently there was a rocket launched which killed 13 people. That's the only thing I've seen all week. Rocket launch which killed 13 people. As a result of that launch, they've agreed to start a ceasefire truce last night. So Saturday night, well this morning, midnight. Midnight, they started a truce, of which Russia is the peacekeeper. Because Russia has military bases in Armenia. Now, why was there violence? Why were people killed? I think it shows the challenges with a lack of knowledge. I did not know that there was that third entity involved in it. There's Armenia, there's Azerbaijan, but part of Azerbaijan has kind of seceded. It's a separatist government. They run themselves. They do have support from Armenia. And of course, Azerbaijan wants to bring them back in. But they've been separated for a long time, for years. How long, I don't know, but it seems to be many, 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 many years. And this Nagorno-Karabakh is right in their area, on the border between proper Armenia and the separatist government. I said no prayers about the separatist government. I specifically called out the countries, and those countries have all done well. But apparently this missile came out of that area. But the end result of that missile is they went into a truce last night. So we're not hunkering down hiding. We're here as emissaries of heaven. We're here as ambassadors of heaven. We're here as the representatives of Jesus Christ to do what God tells us to do. That's the calling on your life if you're at ABC. Thank you for your time, and I'm sorry to have taken so long. But I do think it was important. Amen.